The following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast. Go.
Yeah. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen.
Check it.
We got some super sweetness.
Super sweet.
It's super sweet.
This is a special super sweet show.
Yep. Specialty just for you.
Usually we...
It's been brewed up just for Southern Minnesota.
We usually have super crap shows.
Not this week.
This week it's super sweet.
The phenomenon and on.
We do that on purpose, you see. We start out purposely making everything super crap. So then when super sweet shows come along, it makes them all the more super sweeter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got strategy going on here.
So tell us, Ton. Tell us why the show will be so super sweet.
The most phenomenal metal guy ever to hit the scene. If you talk to his guitar player, they probably invented metal.
It's true.
They probably were doing it before, you know, Dio even was conceived.
Who's Dio anyway?
Who is Dio?
Yeah.
So we have John Michael Thor, right?
The creator of Muscle Rock.
Muscle Rock.
You thought it was Ton? It's not.
No.
Ton was a close. He was part of the second wave of Muscle Rock, but you can attest to that.
But that's why this is so important, is that you got to realize what John Michael Thor did for the whole industry of muscle rock and what it did for me in my life.
Yeah.
My lifestyle, really. I mean,
you probably would not be here blowing up hot water bottles and smashing cinder blocks on your face.
I certainly would not be bending steel rods with Playboy Bunny's bras as padding between my teeth.
Amen.
With my mouth there. It's ridiculous. Anyway, and his guitarist is here, Steve Price.
Steve Price.
He has, I don't know, he's phenomenal.
He's apparently the fastest guitar player on the planet.
Yeah.
The man's fingers bleed.
I mean, we don't need to talk about these other, you know, who's the other noob that's around.
Nobody.
Doesn't even matter because Steve Price is here.
He's here.
He's talking about super awesome finger bleeding techniques. I think he even has some sort of a standing, like, if you can play this as fast as me, then he gives you some
stuff.
Which
you can't, so it's not even worth mentioning, but
yeah,
he's calling, he's live from Florida.
He's live from Florida.
Thor is live from somewhere in Canada.
Yeah, he's up in Canada. He's doing some super awesomeness. So, I don't know. It's cool. You should probably check it out. Stick around. You might learn something.
Ton talked to him.
I talked to him.
He was talking. I mean, he will talk to him.
I'm talking. I will be talking to
him. You'll be talking to him. This is live. You messed it up.
I didn't mess it. You messed it up.
Come on now. This is live. We don't do pre-recorded shows.
No.
This is the five count, by the way. I don't think we mentioned that.
Five count.
You can call in if you want. 389-5678, although we probably will not answer because we will be way too busy talking with Thor.
Yeah, we'll already be on the phone with Thor, John Michael Thor.
John Michael Thor.
And Steve Price.
The creators of...
The Five Count.
Yeah, the creators of Ton, really.
Yep.
They molded and shaped him. They're like his mentors.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, have any of you out there seen my pecs?
Yeah.
Take a look at John Michael Thor and you'll understand what's going on there.
Coming up next. Is this Mr. Thor?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Okay.
John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Dustin, is that you?
Yes.
Okay, this is Steve Price. I guess we're all here.
All right, and okay. my co-host, Ton, is here, too.
Hello.
Sorry. Go on there.
There we go. We're having some...
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we had a little problem because I guess I was calling from within the United States, and the 800 number wouldn't accept it, so...
Strange.
Okay. You guys are in Minnesota, right? It's in the United States, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Weird, yeah, I don't know. I was getting worried. I thought Thor was dialing with his hammer or something, and we were getting some problems there. I don't know.
That was only a hitting my head while I was trying to call. I couldn't get through, so a lot of confusion, yeah.
Well, we're only 8 minutes late, but what can we do?
Yeah, no big deal.
That's all right. So how are you guys doing anyway?
Doing great. We're very excited about the new album. A lot of response on it, the new Into the Noise album, and we're getting ready for a big tour coming up in March. And also we're going to be going to Europe in the summer, June and July.
Okay. Do you guys think you're going to make a Minnesota stop maybe, or...?
We sure hope so. We played Minnesota back in 2005 for the Thor Against the World tour, and really loved the crowd in Minnesota. It was absolutely a tremendous time. I think it was called Tri-Cities or something. A great place and a great crowd. We just loved it there. So we'd like to be back in the land of the Vikings.
Yeah, the Twin Cities, I think, is what you're referring to, the Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Yeah,
Twin
maybe
Cities.
It's called the Twin Cities Club or something. It was good. Okay. Good crowd.
Yeah, I think we definitely have to check you guys out if you came through again.
We would. Yeah, Steve is very excited about going there and all that area is just a great place for metal.
Distance, I have to be there. Can't feel the resistance. I've made my decision. There's sonic vibrations everywhere. Into the noise. It's time to rise again. Into the noise. For all you champions of sound. Into the noise. Switch on the fuse. Instinct of fear cushions the blow. Freeing my mind. Now I must go. Into the noise. It's time to rise again. Into the noise. For all you champions of sound. Into the noise.
Hey, hey, hey.
I guess we kind of want to start a little bit sort of at the beginning with some things with John here. I was kind of wondering some early things about you and your life as far as like when did you start, you did some bodybuilding, right? Did you have like a bona fide career there? How long did you do that for you start?
I started really young. Actually, I started at 7 years old bodybuilding, right? And entered contests at like 12 years old, and I ended up in my bodybuilding career, which I retired from at 19 years old. I won 40 trophies, right, and competed with Louis Frigno, who later became the Hulk. I competed with him twice, once in Mr. Teenage America in New York City, and then which I came runner up to him, and then in Mr. Universe in Geneva, Switzerland. A year later, right? But he was a pretty tough foe to beat, both as the Hulk, mm-hmm. and as Louis Frigno. But and also, I was on stage with Arnold Schwarzenegger, competed against Mike Katz, some of the guys that were in Pumping Iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tremendous career. I took that and went into the entertainment industry. You know, I took my body and went into the entertainment and came up with the whole muscle rock concept.
Yeah, and I noticed particularly, did you drop a lot of weight? Because I know, like, in the Merv Griffin show performance there that I've seen, you looked quite a bit larger than what you then looked like with Thor. Did you drop quite a bit of weight there, or and was the
actually, you know, as a bodybuilder, my weight goes up and down. I used to bulk up for contests, right? And you know, like I'd get as big as I possibly could, and I'd be smooth for a contest. And then 2 months before, I'd start like honing down and just eating steaks and chicken and water and vitamin pills and that sort of thing. You mm-hmm. know, lower the carbs. So my weight goes up and down many times, right? If I want to bulk up, I'll bulk up to be as big as possible, and you know, I'll hone down and be more sort of defined and lean, which I am right now as I'm planning the next tour.
Wow, yeah, that's cool that you even keep with it even till now. I suppose bodybuilding is in your blood, so to speak, rather than just a career or hobby thing that you did, I guess.
No, it's in my blood. Yeah. As I said, I started at a very young age and carried on through all through my career.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. What spawned the sort of transition from the whole bodybuilding thing into the entertainment, and you know, are you still doing any of the Blue musicals? Is that still a presence, or
just at home?
Just
you know, but, you know, with my wife, you know, but
yeah.
no, I don't actually. You're talking about Red Hot and Blue. Now, Red Hot and Blue was I starred in a show in Las Vegas, right? And it was a show where of course for the bicentennial of the United States, right? And in 1976, and I appeared as the heroes of through Legendary the USA, like I'd be Yankee Doodle in one scene, right? I'd Paul Bunyan in another, and then in another scene I was Superman, right? And then one time when I was Superman, I actually flew over the audience, but the crane that they told me, the wire that could hold a one-ton truck, broke, so I fell down, almost hit the audience, and
wow,
almost broke all the bones of my body. But anyhow, speaking of that, that was the show Red Hot and Blue, and I did numerous shows and movies and things like that throughout my career. But of course, rock is my main staple, and it will never die. I've always been a rocker from the beginning, whether I've branched out into movies or other things. But you know, you gotta get out there and you gotta entertain and do things and not be afraid to be on stage in whatever attire you wear.
So then, was that kind of the part of the transition, was doing that stage theatrics kind of thing, and then you decided
to... Yeah, well, it built over. I mean, I started off as body rock, right, where I basically took the concept of the bodybuilding to another level, and I had the female bodybuilders on stage, and I have muscle men like posing and doing choreography to Led Zeppelin while I sang Led Zeppelin songs, and then it developed into more Thor and the Imps, where I used to pick up Frank Soto, the guitar player, and throw him into the audience with my, you know, we actually opened for Kiss at Maple Leaf Gardens, right, doing that show.
Wow.
And of course, things evolved until we did the Unchained album, and I met Steve Price, who I consider one of the greatest guitarists in the world, and he is also on the phone through the tiny lightning bolt speakers, through the phone, through the wires here. But I consider him one of the greatest guitarists. We established a friendship during the Thor Unchained. This is about 1983, when metal was really becoming prominent. And we were able to record Only the Strong together and have number one hits in England, Thunder in the Tundra, Let the Blood Run Red, and tour throughout Europe. And we had quite a career together. And that's why we're so excited about Into the Noise, you know, being able to come back together and do this album.
Would you guys say that Europe was probably more the most responsive as far as the international touring goes, or?
No, I would say, well, what do you say, Steve?
It would be more, England would be like the biggest place that at that time that we played, England and the United States and, of course, Canada. But I would say it would be in that order, you know. Now, for some unbelievable reason, because people, I don't know if they seem to be very, very happy with the new bands that are out now, but the older bands that, you know, like the bands like us, have more of a mystique to it, not Motley Crue or Def Leppard or whatever, they seem to be, we seem to be bigger now in the United States 25 years later than ever.
Right.
It's very strange. Like, you know, wherever we try to get a gig in the United States, we get a gig. There's no problem. You know, there's, it's, you know, and it's very responsive. So it's like pretty weird thing that's going on right now, you know?
Like when we played recently in Hollywood, we were also billing with a band called Arno Corps. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They're like five Arnold Schwarzeneggers on stage. They've got their own following too, but we packed the house down in Hollywood there December 9th, just before Christmas, and the place absolutely went crazy. In fact, I went into the balcony, I picked up a throne I was going to throw into the audience, but decided it was best not to. Then I decided I was going to break the throne. Then I decided I better not do that, so I took the throne down into the audience, into the middle of the crowd, and all these people picked up the throne with me sitting on it and took it, you know, and it carried me right on back onto stage. And so I claim I was the first one ever to do throne surfing. But just the crowds have been amazing. These past shows from the Northwest Metal Fest, where we had thousands and thousands of people in the audience going nuts, and, you know, Portland, where the show had to be stopped, where the crowds attacked the stage, and you know, the shows we did in Vancouver and Calgary were just amazing, and that's why we're so excited, you know, to go back out there again in March and see what happens, and definitely want to play Minnesota. Maybe we'll come to your university.
Yeah, that maybe we can figure out
the principals area.
Yeah. Are you guys still doing a lot of those same feats of strength and stuff on stage that you did in the early days with like the hot water bottles? And
well, feats of strength I like to do is with the feats of musical strength, like what Steve Price, how he hits those power chords, and he's so fast with his fingers. I mean, I've never seen such a feat, you know. I saw a video of him recently shredding, and I said, well, you must have turned the film forward, you know, faster, you know, sped up the film there to look that fast, but he assured me he didn't. So no, I know how fast he can play, right? Like, you won't believe the speed on this guy.
Wow. Yeah,
it all comes down to entertainment, right? We just want to entertain the fans, right? When we go on stage, we want to give our all to entertain the fans, and over the years, I have given my all. Much like Evel Knievel, I've broken ribs. You know, I've gone unconscious on stage, you know, from trying to do, you know, some of the strength feats, and, you know, and I've broken teeth trying to bite into steel bars and bend them. So just, you know, leaping all over the place, you know, leaping on top of amps and, you know, into the crowd, whatever. You know, it's all show business, and we want to entertain and whatever it takes to make the crowd happy.
When you talk about the speed playing, like, you know, which is coming back for guitar playing, there's a lot of controversy on YouTube about that. A lot of people like to provoke each other. And when I used to play, I mean, John, remember, I was always covered in blood, like my hands and my arms, because, like, if you're playing like that and you're playing that crazy, you're going to cut into your fingers and your thumb, you know. Just like Pete Townsend. So a lot of times my guitars were like covered with blood, you know, because if you're going to play that crazy, and that's what we pretty much tried to do. We tried to go out, if you watch the older stuff on YouTube, you know, in the Marquee Club where Hendrix played and The Who and all the legendary bands started, which we sold out three tours, six shows there. The crowd crowd is absolutely going insane. And the energy of the band is insane. The bass player, Keith Jazzy, used to play with his fingers. His fingers were cut to shreds. You know, Mike Favada, the drummer, his hands were, you know, we would just play as hard as we could for the type of metal that we did. We weren't like speed metal. That's what they used to call, you know, Slayer, basically. Now it's called something else. But we would play when people would leave, they would be like, oh my God, I thought it was about strength beats and that they were silly or whatever. And no, that was just an added thing. And we've never had anybody leave a show anything other than blown away by the fact that, you know, I guess that's a good thing because they would expect one thing and then they would get another, you know. In the end, it was a good thing. But right now, what we're doing more is like a doctor show, and the show is more theatrical and less straight beats and less stuff like that. It's going to be pretty, it's still going to be some theatrics, but it's going to be like along the lines of what Tim Burton and other people did with Batman and Superman, bring out the real reality, not the 70s kind of campy kind of Superman or Batman. It's going to be like darker Thor. The music is a little bit darker. It's a little bit more punkier, and the stage show is going to be the same way.
I don't know why you talk to try.
Why did you pick Thor in the beginning? Why did you go with Thor, the character?
Thor is actually my real name, right?
So okay.
Besides that, I wanted, I went through different names, right? My band was first called Body Rock, right? And before that, I was in a band called Metal Falcon, and then I tried the name Centaur for a while, and Vicon. The reason I liked Thor was because Thor represented thunder and lightning and a thunderous brand of rock. So if we're going to go out there and play a thunderous rock, and be the rock warrior, I thought Thor was very appropriate.
So do you ever get in trouble with the Marvel, like the comic book group, or with as far as rights go?
No, not at all. Just as Hercules is can be, if you want to, you can make a Hercules comic or a Hercules movie, but it's the tag you put on it. You can trademark or copyright the Incredible Hercules, or
okay.
Hercules the Invincible, or Hercules the Asshole, or whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I trademarked Thor the Rock Warrior. Plus, it's my real name. So, in fact, I've known Stan Lee for years. In fact, going way back into the 70s, when I put out Thor Keep the Dogs Away, Stan wanted to actually do a Thor movie starring me at that time. We had the script for it and everything. It never got off the ground. But now, actually, there is going to be a Thor movie in 2009.
Wow. Is that how you kind of made the transition into film career? Was with the Stan Lee approaching you, or how did that work?
No, that happened just from getting offers to do movies, right? I actually did a lot of acting in Vancouver when I was younger, in my teens, mainly because people saw my physique and everything, and offered me movies. Like, I was in the movie with George Peppard, Ground Star Conspiracy, another one called Christina, and later on I expanded my acting career with, of course, movies like Zombie Nightmare with Adam West and Tia Carrere, and Rock and Roll Nightmare, which became a big success for me. And I went from there. I'm still doing quite a few movies. Just this past year in 2007, A Family Lost was on television on Lifetime Network, and I just did a CTV movie, the Robert Willie Picton story, where I played a detective. So I'm still doing movies. Steve Price and I are working on a soundtrack for the upcoming movie, The Parking Lot, which is a movie that they're filming in Rome. They want me to star in it, but it starts in March, so it's tough to fly over to Rome and star in a movie when I'm supposed to be touring in March.
Wow, sounds like a lot on your plate there.
Yeah, there's a lot of we're getting a lot of offers to do things, right? But you only can do so many things, so that's why I'm trying to duplicate myself, or maybe I can get a guy to be Son of Thor and he can go out there and tour and different things, or something,
So would you say that the musical part is definitely takes precedent over the acting gigs?
That's where I, what I said before. I'm a rocker at heart. Right. I think it's easier for a rocker to become an actor than it is for an actor to become a rocker, right? You see Hasselhoff and all these guys always trying to, be these rock guys, It doesn't seem to go as far, but many times, of course, Elvis or had a lot of success in movies, and many times you see that. Even Ice-T is a success right now, the rap star. He's got his own show and stuff like that. The transition, I don't know what it is, but because you're on stage, you get that theatrical balance or that theatrical experience being on stage, and you lose all your inhibitions and you feel comfortable, whether it's in front of a camera because you're doing videos or the audience or whatever. It works out that way, but I enjoy both, right? But whether it was the show and doing the movie in Rome, or doing the tour right now, my allegiance is to this album, Into the Noise, and I believe in it so much, and believe in what Steve Price can do, and you know, just so great to get back together again and entertain on stage, you know. And we got big shows like this show in San Francisco on March the 8th is a really big show with Arnold Core, you know, and it's going to be so powerful. I really don't know if the venue will be able to withstand the hammering of Arnold Core and Thor.
When you talk about, obviously you said you're more of a musician at heart, but I think it's fair to say that a lot of people would probably recognize you from the movie Rock and Roll Nightmare. Do you does that bother you at all that
well,
you try
know
to
what?
Struggle
it's,
with
it?
Or?
It's a lot of people will recognize me because of that movie, and then a lot of people will recognize me because of they'll say, oh, keep the dogs away. You still have the dogs. Well, I've never really owned dogs, you know, but I was on the cover of Keep the Dogs Away with dogs, right? The Doberman Pinschers. I don't know if you remember that one, but
yep.
Or I saw the video, or I saw this. It's all for different things, right? You know, so it's not just Rock and Roll Nightmare, but many other things, or the Only the Strong album.
What would you say that your guys' newest album, what would you classify that as and what you're trying to go for? I mean, obviously it sounds like there's still melodic things, but it does sound like the singing has gotten a little bit more, I mean, I guess on some of them a little more growly, but then also, you know, melodic. What would you classify your newest album as?
Well, my opinion, the newest album is almost like, there's hints of progressive rock in there. Try to do something a little different. And being a musician myself, I like experimenting, you know, in different things. And it's a concept album. It's got some power rock. It's got a little bit of progressive. It's got a little bit of everything. But overall, it's fantasy rock, maybe, you know. Whereas I would say, you know, one of my albums was Gladiator rock or a Beast Woman, I would call it psychedelia rock. You know, this is more fantasy rock. We're portraying a story here, like when, you know, and there's instrumentals in there. You know, I was a big fan of the Ventures, right? So I see this as almost like there's some heavy metal instrumentals in there, and then you get the vocals, because the instrumentals lead you into the story, right, of and the concept of Into the Noise. And in ancient times, you know, they would gather where the Vikings would gather around the camp fire and tell tales, and the minstrel would play an instrumental, and then, you know, maybe they would dance to it or whatever, and then there would be roars of laughter or whatever, and then they would come into, a tale of battle and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's what we're trying to go for with this album, a sort of a modern combination of ancient tales.
So, not to get too far off subject, but what kind of things do you guys do in your spare time when you're not making movies and making albums and being super awesome in the industry? What kind of stuff do you guys do just in your spare time?
Basically, what I do is just enjoy some hobbies, or I go to a movie, or my wife and I walk around the park. Very simple things, just try to, you know, actually get away from the movie industry and the music industry, you know. Actually normal things, you know. I don't go into the bank wearing my Thor costume.
That would be pretty awesome, by the way, but anyway.
Yeah. You know, far from it. I'm more incognito and try to escape it, almost like a secret identity.
Wow. Well, Thor needs to wind down too, you know.
Absolutely. I'd be throwing thunderbolts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
last question here before you go. Who would win in a fight between Thor, Danzig, and Don Dokken?
Well, first of all, I'd bonk their heads together, and that'd be it.
Oh, man.
That's all it takes.
The
huh?
hammer wouldn't even come out. It'd just be a big head bonk.
No, I wouldn't even bother with the hammer. I wouldn't need it.
I got to tell you guys something, and I hope John's not embarrassed. I'm 210 pounds, 6'1", and Keith Zazzy was about 200 pounds, and we worked out, both of us. And I have to tell you that the two of us one day, and John didn't know about it, we left our hotel room in England, and we said, you know what, we're going to bend this damn steel bar. And we can't bend it. It was really pretty much the rear brakes of the truck, like the brake.
The leaves, yeah, the leaf springs.
Yeah. That's how thick it is, right? So Keith and I, 200 pounds, you know, like both working out and stuff like that. We're standing there in England, and John doesn't know about this, and we're against a brick wall, like a old castle or whatever, and we're kicking this thing with boots, like Timberland boots, you know, hard as we can, both of us. And I want to tell you, we didn't bend it one bit. So I will tell you that in the years that I've lived, I've never seen anybody as strong as John, and I would never want to ever, even now, have anybody accidentally be punched by him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I mean, Danzig's own fans knock him out, you know, like, you know, in Vancouver, I don't know if you saw that on the tube. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I just punched the gun, Danzig was down. Yeah,
I mean, if you guys think about it, like, you know, John used the towel for leverage. Obviously, you don't want to take your teeth out. You know, your teeth, you know.
Well, I saw one video he used a bra, right, on Playboy TV, just a thin
yeah,
bra
absolutely.
For
a lot more fun.
I was telling you guys, for about an hour, like two pretty strong guys with their feet. I don't think we bent it like maybe more than like one millionth of an inch. This guy, I stood next to him night after night after night, and it was like a joke to him. It was almost like, you know, like he would take his time and make, because he was a showman, and make, you know, like it was extremely difficult, but I've seen him do it, you know, in like 4 seconds.
Man.
Just to be goofing around in like a hotel room, just like, okay, are you really struggling? And then I watch him just bend the steel bar of a brake truck line or whatever you want to call it in like probably 3 or 4 seconds. So I wouldn't really want to see, I don't know, I think he would have to bang heads with probably like a real superhero for real.
Maybe after the music career, you'll have to get into the Ultimate Fighting or something.
I have to fight that guy Chuck Liddell or something.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that if it hit Chuck Liddell's head, would come right off.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, no, those guys are tough guys.
Tough guys. We don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to get you in trouble, right? Yeah. We don't want to fight anybody in these days.
Friend, good. You know, good.
Yeah, exactly.
Peace. No, I believe in peace.
Yeah. Hey, it was great talking to you guys, you know?
Yeah, thanks a lot for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. It means a lot to us. I mean, I know you guys are out there promoting the album and whatnot, but it's definitely cool for us as well.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Disturbance. fight. Let's fight. Look in the mirror at your evil twin. Look in the glass at a has-been. Stop these thoughts from entering. I must destroy this evil twin.
One more thing before we go. Can you just refer to Ton as Old Scratch?
I'll leave that up to you, John.
Okay, say that. Okay, could you clarify that for me? I'm going to say Ton, you Old Scratch. Is that what that?
I would just want you to refer to him as Old Scratch.
Dusty runs around saying that to me all the time. This is like a personal fantasy of his.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
See you again. Old Scratch, Old Ton.
Excellent.
Oh, that was great. Wow.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, man.
Hey, man.
Hopefully we'll see you somewhere in Minnesota if you come through on the tour.
Hey, hook us up at the school. We'll come by.
All right. We'll see what we can do.
We'll be there, man.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being cool, guys, and not too serious.
If you got it. Take care. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep.
Yep, bye. You too.
See ya. It's over.
Yeah. It's over.
That was the big interview with John Michael Thor.
It was pretty big time, I think.
Tons fingers bled just writing down the different crib notes from the interview.
It's true, actually.
So he could...
It's kind of crappy because I can't see what I wrote then because it's kind of bloody like.
You should have just wrote it in blood.
Ooh, maybe I'll do that.
That would have been good now. For your memoirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's a good show.
It was good. We learned some sweet stuff. History of Thor. Check it out. Check out his website. Check out our website. Check some stuff out.
The5count.com is
Educate
our website.
Yourselves.
ThorCentral.com. That's Thor's website. You could go there and you could buy the new album, Into the Noise.
Into the Noise.
Ton bought it twice.
Twice. It was so damn good.
He can't play any of it because it's like...
Can't play it.
It's too much.
My fingers are bleeding.
It makes him cry because he knows he'll never be that good.
Would you please not... Don't expose me like that.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think in my internal calendar. If today is February 2nd, that means next Saturday will be special Valentine's Day show.
Sure.
Is that right?
If we can do it, we can pull it off.
Filled with love.
Yep. Hopefully some women call in and I'll kiss them over the airwaves.
Yeah. Will you be here?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
With love?
Yep. Kisses. It's going to be great.
So tune in next Saturday for the special love edition of the 5 Count.
Yeah.
I don't know what that entails.
It's going to be awesome.
It'll be awesome.
I'll be there. Ladies.
Ladies. Okay, the show's over.
Okay, see you guys.
Coming up next.
Thanks for listening.
The True Punks.
True Punks.
See ya.